A very warm welcome to all of you. If you are visiting us for the first time, I extend a special warm welcome to you on behalf of my church family here at FBC. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Pramita. Our Pastor Ross and Karen, as Neville mentioned, are away at the moment, and we continue to pray that they will be refreshed and renewed and that they will come back safely to us. Before I get into my message, Manny, thank you for your time and support in helping me to prepare for today. Over the last 5 weeks, we have been journeying in our series of Seeking God in the New Year. We are now already, yes, at the second Sunday in February. And I trust you have been putting some of the teachings of these series into practice. It isn't too late, though, if you haven't. And my prayer today is that you will be encouraged to do so by the end of this final message today in the series of Seeking God in the New Year. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We pray that as we spend time together reading your word and listening to the message you have laid on my heart, that you will open hearts and minds that are here to receive it. Thank you, God, for helping me to prepare. And I pray that you will now move through the power of your Holy Spirit to speak to each person here according to their needs and your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Here we go. Nice. So to recap the last 5 weeks of our messages, All In for Jesus at the start, from the start, brought to us by UNICE, celebrating the diversity of our cultures, Eleanor, trusting God in difficult times by Pastor Ross, using your gifts to serve God, Peter Foster, and walking in faith, again, UNICE last Sunday if you were here. What has the Holy Spirit been nudging you about as you have listened to the messages of these last 5 weeks? Today, we will talk about seeking God in the new year, serving with intention. When I told Aidan, my son, I was going to preach that today and that my topic was serving with intention, excitedly, he said, "Oh, Mum, that's been my word for this year." This was before Christmas, so last year. I'm being intentional about the choices I make, the words I speak, the people I surround myself with, because that impacts my own energy. "It's my mindset," he said. And I quote from his journal with his permission, "I have come to understand that chasing a lot of things leads to nothing. So let things happen, but still be very intentional with everything that I do and in who I am." In context of today's message, serving with intention means acting purposefully from God's mercy, out of grace, not obligation, so that every choice we make daily becomes worship. To be intentional simply means to do something on purpose. As I was preparing my message, I kept coming back to Mary's story in the Bible. Mary's act of pouring out her costly perfume and washing Jesus' feet with her here is more than a single moment. It reflects a life shaped by intentional daily sacrifices. It was worth a year's wages, the Bible tells us. Long before she knelt before Jesus, she had made countless unseen choices to show up, to follow, to listen, and to let Jesus reshape her identity and her purpose. Her offering came from a heart that remembered what she had been freed from and who she had become because of him. Every day she chose service over self, devotion over distraction, humility over recognition. These daily, often invincible sacrifices formed the foundation of that beautiful act of worship we read about in John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. It begins in the heart, grows through our everyday obedience, and blossoms into acts of devotion that honor God and bless others. If you remember, most of you will know the story. Judas objected to this because he thought the perfume could be sent for a lot of money. In verse 7, Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial." Mary is the perfect example of Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, which is our scripture reading for today. So if you have your Bibles, please join me. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, which is titled, "A Living Sacrifice." "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Amen. Paul is writing to the church in Rome, a diverse group of believers, some Jewish, some Gentile, who are learning how to follow Jesus in a culture full of competing values and pressures. These words were very relevant then, and they are just as relevant today. Paul starts Romans chapter 12 with "therefore." This made me curious. What had Paul said before this point, and what was he saying after this point? "Therefore," you see, is the hinge between Romans chapters 1 to 11 and Romans chapters 12 to 16. In the first chapter, in the first 11 chapters, Paul lays out the deep theological truth: humanity's sin, God's grace, justification by faith, mercy shown through Christ, how believers are reconciled to God, and the implications of salvation. By saying "therefore," Paul is essentially saying, because of all these mercies of God I have just described, here's how you should then respond. Focus not on self, but on others. The "therefore" reminds us that Christian living is a response to God's grace, shaping our mindset, relationships, and actions every day. It is how we show up. It is how we serve. To explain this concept in one line, doctrine, therefore, discipleship. Romans 1 to 11, what God has done for us through Christ, therefore, how we live in response to his mercy. Paul then says, I urge you, brothers and sisters. An urge, as you know, is an intense desire caused by our thinking. Thinking, as you all know, happens in our mind. Paul then goes to say, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Whatever fills your mind eventually fuels your desires. What you think shapes what you feel. What you feel shapes what you desire. And what you desire shapes what you do. Excuse me. That means Paul's opening words, I urge you, are not simply him pushing believers emotionally. This one isn't just about the heart. He is appealing to their thinking, to their mind, their reasoning, their perception of God's mercy, and in turn, their actions. The urge to live sacrificially for God is not an emotional hype. It is the natural result of right thinking about God's mercy. It is being intentional. God did this, so I want to do this. Paul then goes on to say, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will. Sacrifice, as you all know, means total surrender to the whole self. Thoughts, desires, actions, relationships, ambitions, all offered before ourselves. Sacrificing self is serving others. It flows not only out of duty to gain his favor, but out of gratitude for favor already given. Being a living sacrifice is saying yes to Jesus, not just once, but all the time, every time. And God gives us, he gives us, he equips us, he gives us the ability, the power to do that. Because of God's mercy, we don't just think differently, we actually live differently. I know personally, I normally have very good intentions, great intentions, but I do lack sometimes in the discipline to follow it through. And so that is my personal prayer for me for this year, is that if God brings a thought to my mind, that I will see it through to action. In fact, in Romans chapters 12 to 16, Paul has given us, you don't need to note all these down. These are in Romans 12 to 16. Romans chapters 12 to 16, Paul has given us at least 33 practical instructions on how to live in response to what God has already done for us through Christ. Like me, if you are wanting to do more, if you want some guidance in becoming intentional, Karen shares daily devotions, including a 5-day devotional guide after Sunday services. And I encourage you to set aside time to read these. Reflect, pray, act using these notes, and imagine the spiritual growth that we will all receive individually and together as a church. Here's an example, and I trust again, most of you have already seen this. An example from the devotional guide 2 Sundays ago from Peter Foster's message. If you were here, you will remember Peter talked about using our gifts to serve. And I'm building on that today to talk about how we do that intentionally. Day one, this is from Karen's notes that she shares. Your gifts are not accidents. List 3 strengths or qualities you bring to others. Day 2, serving without spotlight. Do 1 hidden act of kindness. No credit, no announcement. Speaking with grace, choose 1 conversation today where you intentionally speak life, not criticism. If we all keep doing these, over time these will become habit. God will renew our mind and He will transform our lives. Scripture says to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Today, I acknowledge many of you who selflessly serve at our church. Most of you that have done something this morning or leading up this week to make the service happen today. You serve selflessly among your own families. In your marriage, you make sacrifices every day. In your workplaces, out in the community, serving strangers. Some of you serve so unassumingly that no one else knows, but God does, and that's all that matters. Some of you here this morning have picked up folk to come to church, because otherwise they wouldn't be here. Some of you will invite people out for lunch, for further fellowship after the service. I myself received 4 texts through the week from people telling me that you were praying for me and encouraging me as I prepared my message, so thank you. Others I know would have been praying for me, or you have been praying for others in the church or even around the world for various needs. In all of this quiet, faithful act of service, caring for others, offering encouragement, showing hospitality, praying and giving of yourself, you are living out Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. By presenting your life as a living sacrifice to God and allowing Him to transform you through a renewed mind. He's already doing it. You are already doing it. How do we become more intentional about it? Keep doing it because it pleases God, it blesses others, and it helps you grow. When I was initially asked to consider if I would consider being nominated as an elder here at FBC, my response was I would think about it, and think about it I did, but I said no. It was because I didn't think I was the right person. I didn't have the confidence. I couldn't commit the time, and surely there were a whole lot of other people that would be able to do it better than me, so I said no. A couple of years later, I was asked again, but by this time my mindset was quite different. I had been thinking about doing more at church or out in the community. And as I had been praying about it, God was changing my heart. God knew I didn't just need an opportunity and then another opportunity. God knew I needed to let go of some things. On reflection, the reasons for saying no the first time were I doubted myself. I was afraid. I didn't trust God. I was afraid to step out of my comfort zone. And the biggest thing was I didn't actually want to give up my time. God has done an incredible work in my mind and in my heart as I have been saying yes to what He calls me to do. My thinking has completely changed from not wanting to give up my time to recognizing that every opportunity helps me to grow. As I serve God and others, I've been blessed multiple times over through the growth I see in my own life. If you haven't been able to tell, this here is not my comfort zone. But God has brought me here by His grace. God doesn't call us to serve only for the benefit of others, but also for our own growth. Living our lives sacrificially for God does not mean we lose anything of value. Rather, it means we gain something far greater. In giving up what I thought I needed to hold on to, I've received peace, growth, and a renewed passion for serving. Living sacrificially doesn't diminish our lives. It expands them because God multiplies whatever we put in His hand. Amen? Amen. Most of you are familiar with the parable of the talents from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verses 14 to 30, which tells of a master who entrusts money to three servants according to their abilities. Before he goes off traveling, five, two, and one bag of gold or talents. I was very surprised through my preparation to learn that a talent is actually equivalent to about 20 years of wages. That came as a surprise to me. Two servants doubled their amount, earning praise and reward, while the third hides his money and is condemned for laziness. This story teaches responsible stewardship of God-given gifts and resources. It highlights the importance of actively using one's talents and resources to serve God's kingdom while awaiting Jesus' return. Again, if you were here for Peter's message, 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Peter Foster preached on this verse and reminded us that our gifts from God are intentional. What are you doing with the gift that God has entrusted you with? How are you using these gifts to honor God? How are you using it to honor others? Is anything holding you back? Eunice asked us last week, and I ask you again today, what do you need to let go to let God? Over the last 5 weeks, last year came to an end, and the new one began, has God's Spirit nudged you? Has a thought sparked in your mind to do something that aligns with God's will? Something that will bless others, that will help you grow, and best of all, it will please God. Pay attention to it. Reflect on it. Pray about it and act on it. This is how we serve intentionally. When our intention is clear, it guides our attention toward what truly matters, allowing us to move with purpose to align our actions with God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Mary's story challenges us to consider the posture of our own heart. We are reminded that true service isn't just in the big gestures, but in the quiet decisions we make each day, how we show grace, how we choose patience, how we offer kindness, how we pause to reflect on what truly does matter, to slow down and reflect intentionally. These are not coincidental acts. They don't just happen by chance. They are well planned, thought through, and intentionally lived out. Mary's example begs us to ask, am I serving with intention? Am I giving my best quality consistently, quietly, and wholeheartedly, even when no one sees but God? Become intentional about using your gifts from God to fill a gap or meet a need He nudges you to. Let your daily living become an intentional act of worship, honoring Him in all you do as you serve Him and others with intent and with purpose. Don't just seek God's blessings in 2026. Seek God Himself. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we continue this new year, we do it with our hearts open before you. Thank you for your mercy that carries us, that covers us and calls us. Today, we choose to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, all yours, fully surrendered. We pray for your divine strength and grace to live it out. Lord, renew our minds. Break the patterns that have held us back, and form in us the mind of Christ. Transform our desires, our decisions, and our direction. Lead us, Lord, into your will, your good, pleasing and perfect will. May we serve you with intention as we walk with you in obedience and trust you completely in every season this year. We dedicate this year to you, Lord, and we dedicate ourselves to you. Do in us and through us what only you can do. And now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.